Radio WTF presents The Daily WTF. Today's episode, A Day of May, adapted for radio by Lauren Cates from a submission by Nathan B. May is a great manager, the greatest that Initech Corporation has. Like all great managers, she doesn't just lead, she inspires greatness in those under her. Constant, vigilant management is the only difference between a well-oiled machine and a herd of oil-soaked cats hopped up on caffeine. Though she's been blessed with some young, whip-smart upcomers, her job was also kept interesting by certain senior-level old-timers, who, despite themselves, may just be past their prime.
Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, May.
Good morning indeed. Since we're well into it, does not the workday start at 9 a.m., or am I wrong?
Sorry, there was a bit of traffic in the parking lot, and
If I made an exception for you, everyone else would want an exception, and pretty soon, everyone would be coming in at 11 a.m.
But it's only 9:03.
Van Gogh never had someone tell him to come to work on time because he was passionate about his job.
Didn't Van Gogh go insane and kill himself at 37?
And he made dozens of great paintings by then, and look at you, you're already well past that age.
I'm only 32.
And still just a programmer. At this rate, you'll never succeed into management.
I'm a senior project lead. And that doesn't even matter because I don't want to be a manager.
And you never would be with that attitude. I mean, showing up late for work? Come on, Nathan. You need to be punctual, reliable. I'm sure you still think you can play video games until whenever and wake up on time, but you're getting older now, Nathan. You need to make schedules and stick to them. I want to put more structure in your life to help you be successful.
But
Now, I think you've wasted enough company time standing here talking instead of working. Get to your desk for now. Will you be on time tomorrow morning? Yes or no?
The traffic
yes
is...
Yes or no?
Yes.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. Now run along. A manager inspires.
May, like all great managers, knew that communication was the absolute key to keeping a team focused. Left to their own devices, developers would fly off on tangents, chasing down whatever shiny bauble that caught their eye. Constant communication had to be maintained, and there was no greater, more effective form of communication than the face-to-face meeting.
Now that we're all here and no one certain person is late, we can begin the meeting. Wait, hang on. Nathan, your Link Instant Messenger status is still set to available.
Sure, I guess so.
But you aren't available. You're in a meeting.
Well, but anyone who needs me via Link is in this meeting.
I'm not looking for excuses, Nathan. Just action.
Okay.
And Philip, I didn't receive your away from desk email.
Sorry, I just thought, like Nathan said, since everybody would be in this meeting, that, I figured...
I'm not interested in excuses, Philip. We have protocol, so you don't have to think. It just leads to second-guessing best practices and making mistakes. Please send your email before we begin.
Yeah, okay.
As always, Luke will be taking the minutes. Thank you, Luke.
Glad to help.
See, everyone, Luke's positive attitude is the difference between earning his way into management and being stuck in junior developer forever. You can all learn something from him.
I put in the notes, by the way, that Philip and Nathan were reminded the proper meeting attendance protocol.
Thank you, Luke. Now we can begin properly. The agenda of this meeting is the rewrite of Acme's web application.
I have the conference dial info. Can you pass me the phone?
I already have Acme on the line.
Wait, what?
Samuel from Acme Corps here.
Hi, Sam. Didn't realize you were already online. Sorry for all the internal chatter there.
It's important that Samuel understand how disorganized the developers are to know why the project's timelines are slipping. That's why we're having this meeting, and another one every day, to get this project on the correct track. The last iteration of the project was an utter disaster, which is why I'm in charge of it now. And the developers who worked on it are not only off the project, but gone from the company. You've got the bright, young mind of Luke working on the project now, and also the other two. Developers will be developers, so let's all stay focused here.
Sure. Sam, something you had flagged in the existing system was the backorder fulfillment logic. When someone places an order for more stock than you have, you want to tell that person when their order will be ready, based on the expected arrival date of the earliest purchase order with sufficient stock. but I understand the current system doesn't always present the correct targets. Is that right?
Yeah, it'll do dumbass stuff, like promising the same upcoming order to multiple people.
Hi, Sam, this is Philip. Yeah, I reviewed the existing code, and I can sort of see where that's happening. I drafted a design document, and that should cover
these... Hang on. Why is this the first I'm hearing of this?
This was discussed in the kickoff meeting last...
No, not the feature. I'm not an idiot. I know about the backorder feature. I mean, this design document. No one authorized you to make design decisions.
This isn't a decision. It's a design proposal for some architecture that we can use to carry on.
How can you possibly design or document anything before the code is written? We're an agile environment. We make up our design and architecture as we go.
The document is what we're going to code against.
And by the time the code is finalized, the document will have changed. Your document will be out of date and wrong. All you've done is waste time and confuse any future developer who has the misfortune of reading your incorrect document. Get rid of it. Luke, put that in the minutes that Philip is to delete the document he wasted company time creating.
Done. I'll start keeping track of the features that we actually discuss as a team rather than making up willy-nilly.
That's an excellent idea. Luke will track all the features from now on. But for the call, the only thing to discuss is the fulfillment feature.
The issue is that we have to...
No, Philip, you've already had your chance to contribute, but wasted it on a design document. You just sit there and listen while we come up with a solution rather than a design. Why doesn't this feature work? Luke?
It's caching all the purchase orders when someone puts an item in their cart, then looping over each one to determine which one has enough quantity. As we all know, loops are inherently slow. We should always be querying live data because SQL is faster than loops.
And caching never works properly with real-world data. This is what happens when you let programmers design without proper oversight. They just waste time on academic exercises like this instead of being practical.
So that's why multiple people will get promised the stock from the same purchase order.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes and no. The system is identifying which purchase order to use, but isn't earmarking that stock for one specific user.
Which is why we're just doing a select top one purchase order that matches. That way, we could earmark that one record.
Well, but this still doesn't solve the concurrency issue where two users grab for the same record. And I don't think it addresses that new feature where the order can be fulfilled from multiple purchase orders. You really have to lock the PO table and start earmarking stock over and over again until the order is fulfilled.
All you've done is put a loop back in. Queries are fast and loops are slow. You never use loops and SQL at the same time.
And I don't know what a table lock is, but it sounds like you're trying to come up with something fancy and complicated. We need a clean, simple solution. Not more head-in-the-clouds fantasy. Your over-engineered, complex idea will be impossible for other developers to maintain.
You can't work with multiple database records without a loop. And you can't do multiple database operations without locking the table.
I've had enough of this, Nathan. The rest of us are coming up with solutions, and you're just prattling on about this non-starter. Sam, unfortunately, it sounds like it's literally impossible to fulfill a back order from multiple purchase orders, so the system won't be able to support that feature.
That's a key feature my customers want.
Your customers don't want it. They don't even know what a purchase order is.
But they know the difference between getting two small fulfillments versus all at once later.
Sam, your customers have been dealing with our systems for years, and we are the experts at knowing what they want. No one has ever asked for this feature before, and it's silly to force them into it just because you feel they want it. It's a whole bunch of extra hoops to jump through for no benefit. Now my way, the right way, is better. This way your customers get their deliveries all at once, instead of sitting around like jackasses waiting for heaven knows how many different UPS trucks to arrive. Keeping the logic the way it is the best, cleanest solution. I like it.
Actually, May, Nathan sounds like he has a solution.
No, Sam, that will crash your entire system and break ordering entirely. You should know better than that, unless you've suddenly become a programmer overnight. Have you, Samuel?
I don't have to be a programmer to realize.
Yes or no, Samuel? Do you suddenly know better than me how a programming project should run?
No, I just think...
Exactly, no. Luke, do you think you can explain your select top one in a way that even Philip and Nathan can understand?
Yeah, I could dumb it down for them, sure.
Good. Then we have a design. Sam, we'll have an update for you during the next status call.
Okay, I suppose. Until then.
As for you two, since we can't risk you going off track and wasting any more time, I'm making Luke interim project lead. He'll tell you the exact feature you should be working on. But don't even dare to touch your keyboard before bringing your solution proposals to me. I will tell you if it will work or not. I think this will keep us from wasting any more time. Now, all of you back to your desk, and I'll see you in a half an hour for the midday status meeting.
Like all great managers, May knew that quality lived in the details. And yet, too many managers got lost in the big picture and couldn't see the trees from the forest. The finer details wouldn't perfect themselves. Details were vetted by the person best suited to vet them, May herself.
Can no one do anything right around here?
One from purchase.
Nathan!
What? What? No, what? Yeah?
Nathan, I sent you an important email. Why do I not have a response yet?
Wait, what? Sorry, I didn't even notice the new mail icon. Let me check. What? Wait, this one from 5 minutes ago?
I've been waiting for your response, and now you've thrown my entire afternoon schedule off. I expect a prompt response to a mission-critical email.
I was trying to focus on the purchase order feature. Why didn't you just link me? I mean, it would pop up right away. That's why we have it.
If you aren't checking your email at least every 5 minutes, you are doing the whole team a disservice with your tardiness. Now open the attachment. There is important work being held up by some simple fundamentals that aren't done properly.
What is it? It's a big blob of blue?
It's the background for the logo for the website, and it's completely wrong. Tell me, Nathan, what color is that?
Blue?
No, not just blue. What is the exact color?
Oh, yeah, let me pull up the color picker here. Let's see, that's hex 008081.
Nathan, do you think real people think of colors as number gogglygook? No, use your brain. What is the name of that color?
There isn't a named color for that. But the closest HTML color would be, here's W3 School's hex chart. Yeah, 008080, that is teal.
Yuck, ugly. No wonder it got screwed up. I explicitly asked for cobalt. Change this to cobalt.
Do you have the hex code? I mean, there isn't an HTML color called cobalt.
Unacceptable. Install a different color pack.
That isn't how CSS works.
Then CSS is wrong. That color isn't what I asked for. It isn't anywhere near what I want.
Well, what's wrong with it?
It's too blue.
The blue is too blue?
Yes. Well, fix it.
Fix it. Right. Why not? Let's make this blue not so blue. Here, teal.
Still too blue.
Of course it is. Let's make it dark cyan.
Ugh, yucky, too green.
Let's get some red up all in this. Bam! Indigo.
Way too red.
Ooh, can't have it not perfect. Hey, let's try something radical. Three colors to pick from. Navy, dark blue, and medium blue.
Oh, they all look possible. Oh, Lou, come here a moment.
Oh, is this for the new logo?
Yeah, what do you think?
Navy. Definitely navy.
Yes, I completely agree. Navy. There, see, Nathan? Done in 5 seconds without any fussiness. It's nice to have a dev like Luke who can get things done without arguments. Make the background navy.
Sure, I'll do that right now. Changing it. Watch it go from hex 008081 to hex 008080. Look at that! Such a change.
Looks much better. It is extremely important to ensure that the correct colors get used. It's literally the face of the website. It doesn't matter what fancy academic brain exercise you put in behind the scenes. If it doesn't look right on the outside, then it creates a bad first impression, and that's all the end user really care about. Now, add our company logo to that, make it 100x100, and deploy it to the timesheet website.
Sure, I... What? Timesheet?
Yes, Nathan, the timesheet. Where we all enter our time, you should know this.
Our timesheet website. Our internal timesheet website. You just made me spend all this time to change a background of a site that no one but internal employees will see, by one shade of blue? May, I have to concentrate on Acme's purchase order feature. It has to be my top priority.
Nathan, you aren't management material. You can't be expected to comprehend priority decisions, and that's okay. It would be unfair to expect you to do something you aren't capable of. That's why your top priority is whatever I decide it is. But even then, Nathan, sure, the Acme system needs to be worked on. But come on, this logo isn't a difficult task. I've already told you how to fix it. You just need to do grunt work to get it done. You shouldn't be having such problems with multitasking, Nathan.
Yeah, Nathan, I guess this is just hard for you because it doesn't come naturally. I mean, look at me. Not only did I solve your color problem, but I've already got amazing code coverage through the entirety of the Acme system. Not just grinding away at one measly feature, but the entire app.
Code coverage is extremely important. So complete the simple task, reply to my email so I know it's done, then keep working on Acme.
Logo. Stupid logo. Add the .png of the new logo. CSS. Okay. Set background color, navy blue. Save. Publish. There. Done.
That wasn't so hard. Now send me the email.
But you just saw me. To May. Subject. Timesheet. See timesheet site. Signed. Nathan. Send.
Good. And Nathan, next time you get stuck, just ask Luke for help. You obviously need it.
Select top one.
Timesheet site. Reload. Such a simple task, and still, look at it.
Really? Are you surprised you can't even get this right?
I guess not. So disappointing.
Oh, come on, what the?
Yes, May?
Get in my office. Now. Nathan, I do not appreciate being lied to.
What? Lying? About what?
About changing the logo background.
I didn't... What are you talking about?
You're either lying or so incompetent you can't complete a simple task. Look at my monitor, Nathan. Look at my timesheet. What do you see?
Too many useless meetings?
What?
Nothing. What am I looking for?
Use your eyes. Look at the logo.
Yes. That's the new logo. I just published it, like I said.
I gave you very specific instructions about the color, and you can't even get that right.
Don't know what to tell you. It's the new logo. It's the new color.
It isn't the right color.
It's completely the wrong shade of blue. Even I can see that.
Oh, really, Luke? Well, what color is it?
It's the wrong color.
Uh-huh. And what does the element inspector say?
Element inspector? Just because you messed up doesn't mean you get to call me sarcastic little names.
For the love of... Okay, here. There. See? Background color is navy blue. Or hex 008080. The exact one you picked out.
Impossible. You broke something when you deployed the logo, because the shade is wrong. It looks nothing like the one on your screen. You must have deployed the wrong color pack.
Again, this is not how CSS works.
Then obviously you don't know about the cascading part of CSS. Just because it says navy blue doesn't mean it is. I mean, it's probably being overridden somewhere.
That must be it. Fix the CSS.
Again, that isn't how CSS works. If it was being overridden, the element inspector would have said so.
You keep relying on this element inspector, and I've never even heard of it before. I don't trust some silly little open source tool that no one uses.
You've never used browser dev tools? Well, color me a deep, full shade of not shocked at all. Here, screen capture. Color picker. There, navy blue. Or hex 008080. The color is right.
No, it isn't. Stop making excuses and just fix this.
There's nothing to fix. I don't know. Maybe it's just your monitor that's off.
Impossible. My monitor is expensive.
It's definitely your CSS programming code.
CSS code? You know what? I'll prove it to you. I'm getting my laptop. Look, side by side, exact same website. Different colors. Every monitor is slightly different.
Then fix your screen so it looks correct, like mine.
Well, actually, I think you just need to adjust the color temperature of your monitor. Mine is correct. I've already white balanced it.
I don't know or care what that is.
See, this is what he always does. He tries to baffle with bully technical terms. We're trying to fix a problem with the color blue, and he tries to confuse things by changing the topic to white.
I'm tired of your excuses, Nathan. Give your laptop to Luke, and he'll correct it.
I'd rather not hand my development laptop over to...
It isn't your laptop. You work for me. This is my laptop.
Well, if we're being pedantic, it's the company's laptop.
I am your boss, Nathan. Everything you say, do, or use is mine. Now stop being insubordinate and give Luke your laptop to fix.
You know what? Fine. Take it. I honestly don't care enough about the shades of color to argue. Literally no one else does. Here, spend more time from Acme's budget on your project. I'm sure the deadlines will understand.
Give me that. Monitor settings. Advanced. Oh my god, you can't do anything right, can you, Nathan? At CME, see? He has the color temperature set to tungsten, when we obviously have fluorescent light bulbs in the office. I told you he doesn't know anything about colors.
That's why I have to dictate every little detail. There. Much better. That matches my screen.
Wow. Amazing. Now I have to get back to the Acme project.
No, stop trying to weasel your way out of work. You still have a logo to fix.
Seriously? May, if I don't get back to Acme...
I don't care. You need to learn to take responsibility for yourself. Take some pride in your work. Now sit down, right now, and fix your mistake. Maybe this will teach you to do things right the first time.
It's your call. You're responsible for the project.
I don't like threats. Now show me the right shade of blue.
Okay, da-da-da. Teal.
Definitely not.
Cyan?
I'm not feeling it.
Deep sky blue.
Ugh, too blue.
Aqua?
Too green.
Dodger blue.
Don't like it.
Light sea green?
Too close to baby vomit.
Royal blue.
Ugh, gross.
Steel blue?
Too close to gray.
Dark slate blue.
Definitely not.
Cadet?
What is that?
Cornflower.
That sounds gross.
Aquamarine?
No.
Powder.
Too much. Ugh, I can't even.
Alice?
What? No.
Azure.
Ugh.
Sky blue?
You already said that.
Well, I said deep sky blue. How about dark cyan?
There.
Okay. Finally. Background color? Dark cyan. 008B8B.
Perfect. Now publish it.
Done.
See how much easier it is to just do things right the first time? Now, Luke will be by later to check in and make sure you're on schedule for Acme.
I'd hate to fall behind on that.
And Nathan?
Hmm?
This whole time you've been in my office, I intentionally didn't mention this, because I was hoping you'd have the good sense to fix it yourself, but you didn't change your link status from available for this entire meeting. Very, very disappointing, Nathan.
Great. Now my screen looks like yellow-tinted crap. No time to fix it. Oh, where was I? Oh no! What the fuck?
Afternoon progress meeting, everyone! Main boardroom! Chop chop!
Like all great managers, May knew that sometimes the major roadblock to a project's success were the stakeholders themselves. Lesser people fought with their egos. May had to keep a firm and unforgiving hand on the carrot, and if necessary, use that carrot to whip the team back in line.
Okay, everyone is here. Time to go over how the day went. Luke, as always, is graciously taking the minutes.
I'd love to record the attendance, but Philip didn't give me the correct information. I don't know which meeting he's attending.
What? I sent you the stupid email. The I'll be in the meeting email. I even put which meeting.
Yes, but it just says afternoon status meeting. It doesn't have the date or time.
Just look at the time of the email.
No, Philip, that isn't good enough. I expect you to write out the date and time and not rely on lazy shortcuts like that. Computers are notorious for losing time. We can't rely on the timestamp at all. Luke will fill it in this one time, even though that isn't his job to fix your mistakes, just so we can actually get this meeting started. But yay, look at that. Nathan remembered to set his link status properly. Very good job, Nathan. Looks like an old dog can learn new tricks.
You just have to rub their nose in it a few times first.
Yeah, whatever.
Now, you are all very lucky today, because I was just moments away from coming into this meeting extremely upset about the lack of overall progress. The inability of some people to adhere to timelines and schedules is mind-boggling. I simply can't understand how anyone can be so sloppy and careless and still be able to look themselves in the mirror and sleep at night. But thankfully, the law of averages works in your favor sometimes. Luke has put in some excellent work, completed a large swatch of the system, and I'm happy to say the Acme project overall is ahead of my expectations for today's timelines. Luke has single-handedly completed 85% of the project.
What? I've been banging my head against just the start of the checkout process, and Nathan's been doing the backorder bit. That is the entire project.
You all are so focused on your little worlds, you can't see the big picture around you. I ran a report, and Luke's code represents 85% of the system.
How? The checkout and backorder systems are 95% of the billable hours.
I took the initiative and carved out a roadmap for the rest of you to follow. Okay, it's all there in the source code repository. I have 85% code coverage.
Code coverage? Are we talking code coverage or code?
Don't nitpick Luke's work, Nathan. It's unbecoming.
Well, but there's a difference. You said the work's in source control. Let me see. This? This is just code stubs, placeholder methods, and to-do functions. This is what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. See, I've done all the hard thinking for everyone. Now all the rest of the team has to do is just, you know, bang on some keyboards and just fill it in.
May, come on. This is just the equivalent of writing build house here without even providing details about what materials to use, let alone actually building the wall.
This is laying bricks where a master architect has told you to build a brick wall. You don't need to know the details. You just follow the path of Forge.
It's the 80-20 rule, Nathan. Luke's done 80% of the work with 20% of the effort. Has he not laid out exactly what needs to be done?
It isn't just a matter of saying some magic words and then...
I asked yes or no, Nathan.
This isn't a yes or no question. There's some serious design and logical implications to implementing all
yes
of...
Yes or no? Luke has 85% code coverage. Yes or no?
Well, according to whatever metric, yes, but...
Great. Why are you fighting me so hard on a simple compliment? Don't you realize you are benefiting from Luke's victory?
Fine. Whatever.
Oh my god, no. May, even if Luke's code stubs are great and forge the right path for the next 3 weeks of work, which they're not, by the way, they're just not, there is still 3 weeks of work to do. Code coverage doesn't change the timelines.
Wait, 3 weeks? This is the first I'm hearing of this.
You have the customer on the phone again?
May, what's this 3 weeks? I'm supposed to see a demo end of day tomorrow.
What?
Oh, no worries. That's still on track for tomorrow.
Wait, what?
What?
How can that be when I'm here in 3 weeks?
Samuel, you're just hearing wrong. 3 weeks of effort doesn't mean 3 weeks of calendar days. This is a team effort and team hours. And you'll have a working beta demo tomorrow and final delivery Wednesday afternoon.
Only a beta? I booked my people for user acceptance testing on Tuesday morning.
I don't appreciate you changing your expectations on me, Samuel. A demo clearly insinuates a beta demo, not a deliverable.
No! Demo tomorrow, deliverable by Tuesday. I've got a schedule too.
One that you made up all by yourself without consulting your primary stakeholder, me. And I'm sorry, but a lack of planning on your part doesn't constitute an emergency on mine. I manage my department properly, Samuel. I don't just make up timelines on the fly like you seem to do. I invited you here to this call so you could hear about the progress of your project, not latch onto numbers some random employee pulled out of his ass and try to threaten me with them. It's extremely rude and extremely disrespectful to me as a manager. So you can behave and expect your demo tomorrow, or you can hang up and pout like a child.
I am not happy about this, May.
I'm not in charge of managing your happiness.
Demo tomorrow, deliverable when?
Wednesday afternoon, as we already agreed upon.
Fine.
As for the rest of you, Luke accepted, of course. If you can bother to stop mismanaging your schedules, you won't keep wasting hours on other projects. There's a hard deadline, and you've all already pissed off the customer enough with delays. Get it done and on time. Got it?
Yeah, about that. So, in all the meetings we've had about this project, and boy oh boy, have there been so many, and all the times we brought up the number of hours of effort remaining, why has there never once, not even once, and I'm sure Luke's oh-so-wonderful meeting minutes will confirm this, why has there never been a mention of the final delivery next Wednesday?
Oh, you're not management. You don't need to know delivery dates. They just confuse you.
There's nothing confusing at all. People knowing how much time they have to complete a task lets them know, surprisingly, how much time they have to complete a task.
No, if you give developers a time frame, they just inflate the work to fill the time. I need tasks completed, not developers fooling around all day to work on a 5-minute task. That isn't how you manage.
Well, May, you've managed to manage us into a corner with more hours of work to do than there are working hours in the day. We just can't meet that deadline.
But that's the deadline. We've agreed to a delivery date.
No, you agreed to it without seeing if it was possible.
Okay. It's okay. I understand. I get it. I apologize. I thought you were capable enough to complete the project, but I was mistaken. It isn't fair of me to expect you to do what you can't do.
Oh, that isn't what Philip was saying. I mean, it's not a matter of not being able to do it.
No, that's what you're saying. That's what you're telling me. You two can't complete this project. It's beyond your skill. It's okay. I can reassign your task to Luke. He can finish your work for you.
No. You don't have to do that, May. It isn't a matter of skill.
So Luke isn't capable of finishing your work?
Well, no. I'm not saying that.
I am. I'm saying that. This is really complex code we're working on, and I barely trust Luke to be able to find his own ass with a lit road flare in it.
Hey!
There's no way he can take over what we're doing.
Again, May, it isn't a matter of skill, but just the reality of the number of hours in the workday.
Of course, I understand that. You guys both want to be out of the door at 5 p.m. sharp, no exceptions, no matter what.
Well, I mean, if it were just a few extra hours, it wouldn't be a problem. And I'm not saying I'm not willing to put in some overtime, but...
I'm saying it. What's that saying of yours, May? I'm sorry, but a lack of planning on your part doesn't constitute an emergency on mine.
Well, Philip, honestly, with both Luke and Nathan's dedication, you know, actual pride in their craft, with those hours they'll put in, maybe we won't need your hours. You can leave. Your coworkers will cover your work.
If you're going to fire me, then just fire me.
I never said that. I'm just hearing what you're saying, and if you're saying you aren't needed here, and that other people can do your job, no one is forcing you to stay, I'm sure it's a great job market out there.
Okay, just this once. Just this once, and only because I'm not willing to screw over Samuel.
Yeah, if we push hard over the next few nights, I mean, worst case, we'll work from home this weekend. It's definitely doable.
Yay, we have a plan. Luke will provide guidance to see this to completion. I know it's only 3:58, but let's wrap this meeting up a couple of minutes early so you can all get right down to work. You've all got your schedule to keep.
As 5 o'clock rolled around and the day came to a close, company-wide link statuses blinked from available to gone home, except for the few who remained. May's team working hard and diligently, but putting in the hours to clean up the mess they'd made of their own beds was just what had to be done for the good of the project. Like all great managers, May's day ended promptly and on time. May went home right at 5 p.m., as she always did, no exceptions, because a manager leads a healthy personal life by example, as an exemplar for her underlings. That day, as with every day, she knew she'd done a great job and that she would lead on with her management skills, a legacy of greatness that would last until Initech Corporation's bitter end. For the Daily WTF, this was A Day of May, adapted for radio by Lauren Cates from a submission by Nathan B. In order of appearance, Devin Sweeney was May. Alex Papadimoulis was Nathan. Patrick Roach was Philip. Lauren Cates was Luke. Remy Porter was Samuel. And Mark Bowitz was the quiet guy by the cooler. Theme song was Slow Burn by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com. I'm your announcer, Paul Roos of VoicedByPaul.com. This has been a WTF radio presentation.
Dodger blue.
Ugh, gross.
Light sea green?
Too close to baby vomit.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I did not see that one coming. Okay. That's good.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's that's sleek. I like that one. All right, let's try that. Let's try the end. So,